Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name for this worship service. Thank you for your people who are here. Lord, I pray you pour your blessings now upon everyone in Jesus' name. Bless your people, bless our ministers, bless everyone. And we pray that none of us will miss the touch of the Lord, even today in Jesus' name. For those who are visiting us for the first time, Lord, we pray that your mighty blessings will be upon their lives. This will be an unforgettable day. And for all our ministers, all our teachers, everybody, we pray that Lord will carry your blessings back home and then will transmit it to other people too. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You can see now. Open to Malachi chapter 3 and we're looking at verse 1. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, it says, behold, I will send my messenger. Here is the Lord talking to the children of Israel. And he's talking to the people of Judah. And he says, behold, I will send my messenger. Actually, the children of Israel or the people of Judah, they have been wondering. If you look at the last chapter, that is in chapter 2 and in verse 17. The last line there. And where is the God of judgment? They were confused in their lives. They saw the wicked prospering. And they saw the people that were righteous. It's like they were not claiming the inheritance. And things were not going on well for them. And then they were saying, where is the God of justice? Where is the God of judgment? And they were saying, it appears the wicked are doing good. That's why they said, if you look at the middle part of that verse, when ye say everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. What did they mean by that? They were saying the people that are doing evil, the people that are sinning, the people that are backsliding, the people that are worshiping their idols. It's like they're making it. They were looking at the peripheral things. They were looking at the superficial things. They were looking at the things that were visible. And he said, the people that were doing evil, they appear good in your sight. And then they went on to say, he delighteth also in them. He seems to be blessing them. They didn't realize that the goodness of God was to bring them to repentance. They didn't realize that it's a good God, a wonderful God that makes his rain to come on the just and the unjust, and makes his sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. And so they were asking, where is the God of judgment? Now God comes in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, behold, I will send my messenger. And actually, I hope you understood, but I hope you understand, the name Malachi actually means my messenger. Think about that. And the Lord was saying, I am sending my messenger unto you. I'm sending Malachi to you. And Malachi will tell you what happened in the past, what you are doing now, and what is coming in the future. It goes beyond that. Number 2, I will send my messenger. He also spoke about John the Baptist, because John the Baptist is referred to as the messenger of the Lord. I will send my messenger. Look at Matthew chapter 11. As you look at Matthew chapter 11, here we're looking at verse 10 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 11, and we're reading from verses 10 and 11. It says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of justice? Behold, I will send my messenger. Number 1, I'll send Malachi to you. He is my messenger. Number 2, I will send John the Baptist. And here is what is written. It says in this verse 10, that this is he of whom it was written, I'm sending my messenger. Verily, verse 11, I say unto you, among them which are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, this is wonderful for me. I said this one is wonderful for you. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Thank God, God puts a great value upon your life. And he says, the least in the kingdom, even if you count yourself as the least in the kingdom, he says, you are greater than John the Baptist. Let's come to Mark chapter 1, and I'm reading from verses 2 and 3. In fulfillment of the promise of God that I will send my messenger, Mark chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, as it is written in the prophets. Which prophet? It's written in Malachi. As it is written in Malachi, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And then as you come to Luke chapter 1, reading here from verse 76. Luke chapter 1, verse 76, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, prophesying and then speaking to the people when John the Baptist was born. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. That's according to what he had been told by the angel before John was born. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, I'm reading from verses 6 and 7. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. I pray that you'll be such a man. That you'll see, there was a man, there was a woman sent from God whose name was, tell him your name. And then it says, the same came for a witness to hear, to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. God will do wonders through your life. That as you become the messenger of the Lord yourself, and then the Spirit of God is upon you, and the power of the Lord is upon you, and everything you do for the Lord will be blessed of him and draw souls into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Well, we, you know, over here in our church, we say there are members, there are workers. And actually, there shouldn't have been any kind of difference between the member and the worker. It says, follow me, and I will make you complete it for me. I'll make you fishers of me. That means the moment you stand up, and the moment you say, I'm going to belong to the Lord, I follow the Lord, I'm following the Lord, it says his goal for you is to be a fisher of men, is to make you a minister, is to make you a messenger. I'm going to ask you a question. Now you become a Christian for 2 years and 3 years and 5 years, are you going to remain, let me use the word, an ordinary member? Coming in, going out, until you die. Until you die. And he said that his purpose of calling you is that he will make you his messenger. And the people are asking, where are the evangelists and where is the goodness of God? Where are the people that will help us? And he asked the question, where is the God of judgment and the God of justice and the God that will show us mercy? He said, I'll send my messenger to you. That community where you are living, he has sent you as a messenger. You will perform very well there in Jesus' name. Number one, if you come back to Malachi chapter 3. Number one, Malachi himself was a messenger, the messenger of the Lord. The name meant my messenger. Number two, it was also referring to John the Baptist. And then come back now to Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. It says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, look at this, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. He's not talking about another person. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Lord. And he says, the Lord whom you're seeking, he will suddenly appear in his temple. And what does he refer to that? What does he say about that messenger? He says, even the messenger of the covenant. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He refers to him as Lord. He said, my messenger, Malachi, my messenger, John the Baptist, and then another messenger now is the Lord whom you seek, who will suddenly appear in his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come. Behold, he shall come. Behold, he shall come. The Lord is coming. I said, the Lord is coming, says the Lord of hosts. He's referred to as the messenger of the covenant, and is the Lord himself. Look at Psalm 110. I'm reading here from verse 1. Psalm 110. And we're reading from verse 1, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is coming. He is Lord, he is God also. You remember, after Jesus rose from the dead, and then he came to his disciples, and he said, peace be unto you. Thomas was not there. And then 8 days after, 1 week after, Jesus Christ appeared to them again and said, Thomas, come here and look at my hand and look at my side, and thrust your finger, thrust your hand in my side. And Thomas realized, this is Jesus. He died, and then he was buried, and he rose again. And Thomas bent down and worshipped him and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus did not say, don't say, you know, when an angel bowed down, when John the Beloved, when he bowed down to an angel, the angel said, no, no, you can't do that, because I'm just a man like yourself. But when Thomas said, my Lord and my God, Jesus didn't say, don't say that, because he's Lord. You call me Master and Lord, and so I am. And so here we're reading in Psalm 110, and I'm reading verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord. You know there are two Lords there. The Lord, that's the Heavenly Father, said unto my Lord, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And so that's the messenger of the covenant, and that is the one, is the mighty God. Look at Isaiah. I'm reading from chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Who is that? Unto us a son is given. Who is that? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Who is that? And his name shall be called Wonderful. Who is that? Counselor. Who is that? The Mighty God. Who is that? Jesus. And so this is the messenger of the covenant. He is the Lord. He says, the Lord whom you're expecting, whom you're waiting for, he will come. He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon the kingdom, upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. It will be done. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Malachi has told us that messenger of the covenant, he is coming, and you're expecting him, and he will suddenly appear in his temple. Malachi chapter, Haggai chapter 2, and here we're reading from verse 7. It says in verse 7, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. The desire of all nations shall come. That's the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I said he's coming again. And then he goes on to say, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And so you come to Malachi now, chapter 3. And Malachi chapter 3 is telling us, behold, the Almighty God is promising and prophesying and saying, is declaring, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. The Lord, and the Lord whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Thank God, we delight in the Lord. You're born again, we delight in the Lord. You're seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, you delight in the Lord. It says, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. And today, we're looking at this message, preparation for the messenger of the covenant. Preparation for the messenger of the covenant. Because the Lord says, I'm sending him, and he's coming. And because I'm sending him, you need to receive him, and you need to prepare that he will be yours. There are 3 points we're talking about. Number one, Christ's revelation in his temple at his second coming. Christ's revelation is coming. It's going to be revealed, and it's going to appear. It's going to come. Christ's revelation and in his temple at his second coming. Point number two, complete restoration of all tithes into his sanctuary. Complete restoration of all the tithes into his sanctuary. And then number three, continual remembrance of the triumphant in his service. I pray you'll be in his service. You see, there's a special remembrance and a special blessing for those who are serving the Lord. That's why the Lord is calling upon us. Don't be idle. Don't be left out. Make sure that you're one of the servants of the Lord and you're serving the Lord this capacity or that capacity, and the Lord will bless your service for the Lord in Jesus' name. Let's come to number one. What's your number one there? Wonderful. Christ's revelation in his temple at his second coming. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 1. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, shall assist the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 2. But who shall abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, like the fuller's soap. Now you can tell that this is not referring to his first coming. When he came the first time, he came as a babe in the manger. He came, he was unto us a child is born. He came as a child. But now you see, he's coming. And when he comes, he says, who shall abide the day of his coming? It's referring to his second coming. Look at verse 3. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and as silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Since when he comes, it's going to purify, it's going to purge, and it's going to sanctify the sons and the children of Levi. You know, he didn't do that the first time when he came. This is the second time. He's coming the second time. The messenger of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah himself. He'll purify, he'll purge, he'll sanctify. And then he says they'll be able to offer the sacrifice in righteousness. Verse 4, it says, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. You remember when Christ came the first time, Jerusalem did not accept him. Judah did not accept him. Even when he told the disciples, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem did not fully receive, and Judah did not fully receive. If you know where they were imprisoned and where they rejected them, it was in Jerusalem. But when he comes the second time, Christ is coming again. I say Christ is coming again. Then he says the offering of Judah and the offering of Jerusalem shall be pleasant unto the Lord. Look at verse 5. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a sweet witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages and the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. It says when he comes, he's going to bring judgment upon the people that have not repented. He didn't do that at the first time when he came. All he came to do when he came the first time, he said, the Son of Man is come not to judge, not to destroy, and not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what he came for the first time. He's coming the second time. And when he comes the second time, he's going to bring judgment. And God says in verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Thank God he changes not. All the promises he has given, all the prophecies we read about him, they be fulfilled, because he says, I am God, I change not. Where it says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, and ye followers of Christ, you are not consumed. Are you there? I said, ye followers of Christ will not be consumed. Now you see this section that we're talking about, Christ's revelation in his temple at his second coming. There are three things here. Number one, preparation for Christ's return. Preparation for Christ's return. Number two, purifier of the chosen race. Purifier of the chosen race. We're talking about Judah. We're talking about the Levites. We're talking about Jerusalem. And he says he'll see it as a purifier, the purifier of the chosen race. Number three, the punishment for corrupted reprobates. Punishment for corrupted reprobates. Look at them one by one in Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Preparation for Christ, for Christ's return. He's coming. Thank God you'll be ready. I will be ready. And if I will be ready, I know you will be ready. We shall be ready in Jesus' name. It says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, we're seeking the Lord. We seek him in salvation. We seek him in sanctification. We seek him in service. We seek him in sacrifice. As we lay everything down before the Lord, and we say, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. We seek him in surrender. And those who have come to the Lord, you've surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're born again. You have surrendered further. You're sanctified. You have surrendered further. You say, I'm not going to spend all my time, 24 hours of the day, 168 hours in the week, spend everything totally on myself, not spending anything on evangelism, anything for Christ, anything for the service of Christ. I cannot do that. He gave his all for me. I am going to give myself to him. I surrender my time. I surrender my talent. I surrender my treasure unto him. Ye that seek the Lord by salvation, seek the Lord by sanctification, seek the Lord by service, seek the Lord by surrender, seek the Lord by sacrifice, that you give everything you've got unto him. It says, he shall suddenly come to his temple. He shall suddenly come to his temple. Where will you be when Christ comes? Will you be on the street roaming about? Will you be in the nightclub? Will you be in the temple of the Lord joyfully, happily serving the Lord? He'll come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come. He says, don't have any shadow of doubt in your heart. Behold, he shall come. He says, look at all the signs of the age, and look at all the signs of the time. Look at the earthquakes we're reading about, and look at all the tornadoes we're reading about, and look at all the arrest we're reading about, look at all the insecurity we're reading about, and understand that these are the signs. And Jesus said, when you see these signs in your rising, you know that he is at the door, even as at now is about to come. He shall come, says the Lord of hosts, but who may be able to, who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like the fuller's soap. Well, he tells us very clearly here that he is coming, and we need to prepare for his coming. Look at Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, he's telling us how the preparation should be and what the preparation ought to look like. In Luke chapter 1, here reading from verses 16 and 17, the preparation we make. He tells us in verse 16, it says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. We turn to the Lord in repentance. We turn to the Lord. We make our restitutions. We turn to the Lord. We become righteous before the Lord. And it is that returning to the Lord, that restoration to the Lord, that shows that you're getting ready. You are preparing. You say, I know my Lord is coming. He's coming to take the saints home, not the sinners. He's coming to take the believers home, not the unbelievers. He's coming to take those who are following him. He's coming to take them home, not those who are following the world. And therefore, your heart is turned to the Lord. Your mind is turned to the Lord. And say, I'm totally, completely, unreservedly turned unto the Lord. I'm getting ready for his coming. Look at verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. You know what we ought to be doing in our ministry? If we're going to prepare people for the coming of the Lord, we're preparing them. We're not just entertaining people. We're not just demonstrating or dramatizing anything. What are we doing? We're turning the minds of people unto the Lord. Any area of work you have in the church, you're turning the minds of people to the Lord. Even as a believer, you have the excuse not to be working for the Lord. Everybody is a worker. Every believer is a worker in the sight of the Lord. Only that you have been hiding and dodging, but the Spirit of God will bring you out. And all those talents you have, all those privileges you have, all those training you've got, you'll come and use them for the kingdom of God. And then you will turn many souls into the kingdom of the Lord in Jesus' name. Do you remember what Malachi said? Malachi said, when he comes, who shall be able to abide the day of his coming? That's what we read about in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and I'm reading here from verse 12. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, Malachi said, he is coming, and when he comes, who will abide the time, the day, the period, and the epoch of his coming? And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of air, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, look at this, and the great men, look at that, and the rich men, look at that, and also the chief captains and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Listen to verse 17. For the day, the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's why we're prepared. If you know, all you have is money, all you have is riches, all you have is position, all you have is, you know, things of this world, when it comes, the rich men and the great men and the captains and all the people will not be able to abide. They will hide and they will say, let the rocks fall on us, because Malachi said, but who shall abide the day of his coming? In this section, there's another thing here. It's the purifier of the chosen race. The purifier of the chosen race. Malachi chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Malachi chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 3 and 4. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. You see, at this time now, the Lord is working on the Gentiles. At this time now, it's the Gentiles that are not receiving the grace for salvation and the grace for sanctification. Of course, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Israel is not responding now, because this is the time of the Gentiles. But when the times of the Gentiles will be over, then the Lord will face the people who are the Jewish people. That's the time when he comes back again, when the church has gone up in the rapture and the church is no more here. Now the Lord will face the children of Israel. He'll purify them. First of all, he'll pardon them. He'll give them salvation. Number two, he will purify them. He will give them sanctification. He will purge them. He will empower them and fill them with the Holy Ghost, and he will be his mouthpiece at that time to the rest of the world. Then he says in verse 4, he says, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. What does that mean? In the days of old, in former years, he concentrated on Israel. You remember David? He concentrated on Israel. You remember Solomon? Concentrated on Israel. You remember all those good kings, Asa, Hezekiah? They concentrated on Israel. You remember all their prophets? They concentrated on Israel. Elijah, Elisha, and all the other prophets, even Jonah, that was once sent to the Gentiles to Nineveh, he said, no, I will not go because I'm just to concentrate on the children of Israel. Now the Lord has raised up ministers and preachers for the Gentile world. And when the Gentile people have received the gospel and the church is, well prepared and rapturable, and Christ comes and the church is gone, then he'll go back to those people again as in the years of old. We'll concentrate upon them. But at this time now, it is the time of the Gentiles. But the time of the Gentiles will soon be over. And before the times of the Gentiles come over, get saved quickly. Thank God you are saved. I'm talking to somebody. I said, thank God you are saved. And then make sure that you are serving the Lord. Luke chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 24. It says in Luke 21, 24. I'm waiting for you to open. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. It's talking about Israel there, talking about Judah there, the people, the descendants of Abraham, and shall be led away captive into all nations. That is, all those Jewish people be carried away into all nations at this time. That's what has happened. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. If you have read your news very well, there has been battle over Jerusalem, this part of Palestine, that part of Palestine, all that at the time of the Gentiles. Look at this. It says they shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And when that time has been fulfilled, now Christ will come. The church is gone. And now the great tribulation is taking place. And that great tribulation will be a purifying kind of agent on the children of Israel. And they will call upon the name of their God. And then we're told, look at Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. We're reading here from verse 10. Daniel chapter 12, I will read him from verse 10. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, listen to what it says. Many shall be purified. That's at that time when Christ will come. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked that shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. It's talking about that time of the great tribulation when the children of Israel will pass through the fire. Fire of refining and fire of purifying. And then eventually punishment will come upon the unbelievers. Come back to Malachi chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 5. Punishment for corrupted reprobates. Punishment for corrupted reprobates. It tells us in verse 5. And I will come near to you to judgment. And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. Thank God I'm not a sorcerer. Somebody there said, thank God you are not a sorcerer. We must get out of all those things, because you see, all those who live in that, whatever they think they're gaining by being sorcerers or witches or wizards, what are you gaining? Because that's going to end up in judgment, in everlasting fire. It says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. Do you know that sin? Some people that say, I'm not a sinner, and the workers who are working for them and the people who are serving them, they do not pay them their right due. And he says God is going to bring judgment upon them. You know something here? He puts the people who are oppressing the poor and the people who are oppressing their employees, he puts them in the same category as the witches and the adulterers. So it's not enough to say, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not this, I'm not that. Are you paying people their due? And then it goes on to say, against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hiding in their wages and the widows and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right And it goes on to say, and you fear not me, says the Lord. And for you to understand, he says, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to relent. I'm not going to change my mind. He says, for I am God, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Judgment is coming. I pray you will not pass through that period of judgment. Salvation is for everyone who will call upon the Lord today. And once you are saved, praise the Lord, that kind of judgment is over. Point number two now, complete restoration of all the tithes in his sanctuary. Complete restoration of all the tithes in his sanctuary. And let's come to Malachi chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 7. Even from the days of old of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and I have not kept them. Return to me. You see, when the Lord was challenging them, it wasn't to condemn them. Sometimes when the challenge comes to us, we feel, okay, I'm guilty. Okay, I'm under judgment. Now I'm under this or under that. He's telling us so that we'll not remain in that condition. Return unto me. You will return. And I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But she said, wherein shall we return? You see these people, as the Lord said, I'm waiting for you here, return. I'm waiting for you here, repent. I'm waiting for you. I want to bless you. Why are you staying far away? They said, okay, we're going to return. But how are we going to return? And then the Lord began to tell them in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But she say, wherein have we robbed thee? You see, every time God says, this is the controversy I have against you. And this is the commandment I'm giving to you. They'll say, but what have we done? Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And immediately he said, you are cursed with a curse. He said, we can reverse that curse. He will reverse the curse. I said they will reverse the cause. And that's why he told them in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. An outpouring is coming. And pour you out a blessing. It will pour upon your head, and pour upon your family, and pour upon your business. Look at the amen I'm getting from our people. He will pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. And that's the promise of the Lord, and he's going to fulfill it in Jesus' name. Check up your Bible. I'm not sure you're going to find any other place where God said, do this, and I will do this. Prove me, test me, and examine me. And you do that, and I'm going to surprise you. If you will follow the Lord this year wholeheartedly, in all these things the Lord is revealing to us, he will surprise you with miracle. He will overload you with miracle. Prove me herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive it. That is, you'll not have enough room to receive. And let me look at some few things here. Number one, it says, this is faithfulness rewarded. Faithfulness rewarded. Look at it in verse 10. It says, prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven. That is, if you are faithful, I'm going to reward that faithfulness. Number one, faithfulness rewarded. Number two, fullness received. Fullness received. Look at that in verse 10. It says, I'll pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You receive a fullness. There will not be enough a room to receive that. Number one, it's faithfulness rewarded. Number two, is fullness received. Number three, foes rebuked. Foes rebuked. Look at verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. All your foes, all your enemies, the Lord will say, don't come near here. stand clear. This one is a precious child of God, and the business and the work of your hand is so protected and precious that it says, I will rebuke the devourers for your sake. The foes rebuked. Number four, fruitfulness regained. Fruitfulness regained. Because it says in verse 11, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. All the destruction of the past, there'll be a restoration to your business, a restoration to the work of your hand. Because it says there is fruitfulness regained. Number five, fertility restored. Fertility restored. It says, neither shall your vine cast their cast cast her fruit before the time. It says fertility will be restored. And then number six, favor recognized. The favor of God upon you will be recognized, because it says in verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed. It says, if you will do what I'm telling you, and you will bring all the tithes into the storehouse, it says the favor of you, the favor of God will be recognized. And then number seven, the future reassured. The future reassured, because it says, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. I come back to verse 10. It says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Look up here. There are some people that will tell you, if you listen to them, thank God, we don't listen to false prophets. I said, we don't listen to false teachers. You're not listening to them in Jesus' name. Oh, they will say that the law is the law of Moses that, you know, spoke about tithes and offering. There's nothing like that anymore. That, you know, whatever you want to give, if you have 100 naira, you want to give only one kobo, they say that's your decision. If you have 100 naira, you want to give 90 naira, and they say that's your decision. If you have $1,000, you want to give only $1 to the Lord, that's your decision. And if you decide to give 980 of the 1,000 to the other, they say that's your decision. They say God doesn't talk about you know, tithes and offering. Only Moses spoke about it. I want to tell you that Abraham commenced it. Abraham commenced it, and Jacob continued it. Now Moses commanded it. That's 400 years after Abraham had commenced it, and Christ commended it, and none can cancel it. Number one, Abraham commenced it. It started from the time of Abraham. Number two, Jacob continued it. And number three, Moses now commanded it in the law. And number four, Christ commended it. And number five, none can cancel it. Let's come to the first time tithes and offering was mentioned. We're looking at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, and here we're reading from verse 18. Abraham had gone to the battlefield, and God had given him the victory. And then a great personality met him, his name Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, we're told in Hebrews chapter 7, is like unto the very Son of God. And look at this in Genesis chapter 14. And we're reading from verse 18. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem. That word Salem means peace. When in the Hebrew people say shalom, you know, in their language later, and that is peace. The king of peace, that's the king of Shalom. And the king of, that's Melchizedek. And he brought bread and wine. And do you remember what Jesus said? This is my body, which is broken for you. That's the bread. And then he brought the cup and he said, this is my blood, which is shed for you. It says, drink ye all of it. And every time you do this, you do that in remembrance of me. That's what Melchizedek, the one that is made after the similitude of, you know, the Son of God. That's what he brought to Abraham. And then gave him bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High, Jesus Christ. Christ is our high priest. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Listen to this. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he, Abraham, gave him tithes of all. Moses was not born yet. This is not the law. This is the time of Abraham. And it says, we who are born again now, we have the seed of Abraham. And as Abraham did, and we're walking in the footsteps of Abraham, that's why you now bring your tithes. You're not giving the tithes to man. You're giving to Melchizedek. You're giving to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has sacrificed, who gave you his body, and who shed his blood for you. He gave you the bread and the wine. And you say, in recognition of what you've done for me, here is one tenth of everything I have, and you give unto the Lord. Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. We're looking at Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. And I'm reading here from verse 20. Genesis chapter 28, verse 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Stop there for a moment. Look at the prayer of Jacob here. If God will be with me, what did Jesus say? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you till the end of the world. That's that part of the request of Jacob, which is the request the Lord has answered for you. And will keep me in this way that I go. What did Jesus say on us praying? He says, Holy Father, keep them from the evil. He said, I'm not praying that you'll take them out of the world, but that you will keep them. He's keeping us. And then he says, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. What did Jesus say? Seek ye for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles are seeking, I will be added unto you. Then he said, if you do that, this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, think about this, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Moses had not arrived. Moses did not teach Jacob this. But you see, Abraham commenced it and Jacob continued it. It was later that one came talking about the tithes. And now when you come to the New Testament, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 1. You know, as you open up and you give to the Lord will give unto you without measure, beyond measure. And this year will be your year of breakthrough in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 1. It says, now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Which is the first day of the week? Today. Isn't it? Upon the first day of the week, Sunday, let every one of you lay by him a store as God has prospered him. You understand that language? That's the language of the accountant. As God has prospered him. That's the proportion. What's proportion? That's percentage. What's the least percentage? 10%. That is 1/10, 1 over 10, or 10 over 100. 10% of what you've got, that's the proportion. As God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. What does that mean? That means that when there's a need, now we want to do this in the church of God, we want to preach, we want to transmit, the message of the kingdom to all the people that need to hear. We want to build a local church, we want to build a headquarters church, we want to pay the people that have given their whole life to serving the Lord, because they're not doing any other work. And this is the only way they can receive remuneration and the pay for their service, a little pay that they'll be able to maintain themselves and their families, so that they will not be making announcements. We're going to gather together for a special meeting on a Wednesday, on a Friday. We cannot pay our workers. We cannot do this. No, it says on the first day of the week, as we gather together like this, says, let everyone lay each by store. That means before you come to church on Saturday, you read your Sunday scripture, and you prepare, and you read your Bible, and you put your hymn book aside. By the way, I want to talk to the parents that, you know, the parents, you're not buying hymn books for your children. And when we're singing, our youth, they don't have any hymn book, because we're seeing that once we bought the Bible, we've done everything. No, your child must have the hymn book, the youths must have the hymn book, and the fathers and the mothers must have the hymn book. And then as we're coming to the Lord, you know, sometimes when we say, now raise up your offering, I will look in the youth's direction. We know they are not walking, but you're training them, you're bringing them up. Before on Saturday, this is what you are going to contribute in the church, this is what you are going to give, and then father will have his own, mother will have his own. It says on that day that there be no gathering when I come. And it says, when I come, whatsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. You know what that means? It means, you know, there's a local church there, local church there, local church there, and then you all bring the tithes, and then we'll send it to the headquarters. And your liberality, now your liberality, if you have 100 naira and you give 1 naira, are you liberal? Tell me now. Why is it when we talk about money, then you keep quiet? When I begin to talk, I say, okay, no money, no money. Now, miracle. You say, praise the Lord, pastor. And then you say, amen. Miracle will come. Now we're talking about money. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so, liberality. When you have, you know, the least you can do is the tithes and the offering. To be liberal. In fact, you go beyond 1/10. You go beyond 10%. That's why it says tithes. That's 1/10. And offering. The offering that is added to that. That's your liberality. And you know, the more you give to the Lord, this year you are going to begin a new style of giving. A new approach of giving. And I'm seeing the riches and prosperity upon your life already. You know, all the canker worms and the caterpillars, the Lord will rebuke everything. You will not spend your money on sickness. Give the money to God. You'll not have to go and give it in the hospital. Give your money to God. You'll not have to go and give it to the strangers. Because and what you give, the Lord will repay you. And the Lord will bless you abundantly in Jesus' name. You know, some of these teachers, they tell us that Jesus never spoke about tithes and offering. They have not read their Bible very well. Matthew chapter 23, I'm reading from verse 23. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. It tells us in verse 23. It says over here, Matthew 23 and verse 23. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. You know what the Lord is saying here? The Pharisees, they were meticulous about paying their tithes, but righteousness, salvation, sanctification, no, love of God, no, helping other people, no, helping the one that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and then was left up dead by the robbers. They will not take care of that person, only tithes and offering. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, let there be salvation. Let there be sanctification. Let there be Holy Ghost baptism. Let there be evangelism. Let there be helping the poor. Let there be caring for the widows. Let there be caring for the fatherless. And let there be your tithes and offering. I'm going to read that again. Now you understand better. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Listen to this. And it says, and judgment and mercy and faith. The omitted mercy and faith and justice. These ought ye to have done. What's that? The tithes are doing. That's all right. That's all right. These ought ye to have done, and not to have left the other undone. What he condemned them for is that they left mercy, they left faith, they left the love of God, and they left the caring for the poor, and they only concentrated on tithes and offering. He said, balance everything together. These ought ye to have done. You should pay your tithe, and not only tithe and offering, and be liberal. And if you are liberal, God will be liberal upon your life. And this year, you're going to receive greater in the hand of the Lord in Jesus' name. He'll wipe your tears away. He will change everything that needs any change in your life, in your surrounding, in Jesus' name. Come back to Malachi, and I'm reading from chapter 3. Come back to Malachi chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 10. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. All the tithes. You know, the people that, you know, will say, now raise up your tithes and offering, and they don't make any calculation. Tithe is one tenth. Every month, if you're a salary earner, you'll calculate, you say, this is one tenth. If, you know, you earn income in another way, you calculate, this is one tenth. And it says you bring all the tithes. And if you bring all the tithes, no wonder all the blessings you ought to get in the past, you were not getting. But this year, you'll get everything. Yeah. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and let your children have their contribution. The wife must have her contribution. The husband his contribution. Everyone is contribution. Because, you know, if the blessing is going to pour on everyone, everyone must have something they're expecting. I have done the will of God. I brought my tithes. I brought my offering. I'm expecting this. And God will not be debtor to anybody. He will give you what he said he'll give you. I thought you'll say amen. Amen. Prove me and prove me now. Here we, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Those windows are opening. And pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. This church will not be oppressed by any devourer. And every work of your hand, it will bless and preserve. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your service, and the fruit of your labor. Neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the vine in the field. Neither shall your wife cast the baby before the birth in your family. Miscarriage will be cancelled, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. All nations shall call you blessed. You know, some people, because they are not doing what the Lord wants them to do, and then they are living from hand to mouth. And, you know, their neighbors see them, and then they say, come to church, come to our church. Which church? I don't want to go to the church of the poor. They will not say that anymore. The church of the blessed, and the church of the outpouring, and the church of prosperity, and the church of those who are free. When they see, you know, you say, I'm of deeper life, I'm of deeper life, and then you are telling your neighbors, the witches are troubling me. Where do you go if you had the problem before? They say, but you're deeper life. If you now invite them to church, I don't want to go to the church of the oppressed, but the church of those who are free. This year you are free. Somebody there said you are free. All those oppressors, they will not touch your life anymore in Jesus' name. Because all the nations and all your neighbors will call you blessed. They will look at you, they say, what do you eat? I'm looking at you the way you are. And I know that, you know, it's not easy everywhere, but for you, everything is easy. Before you invite them, they say, I will go with you. I said they will come with you. Because the blessings of God, everybody will see it on your life. And ye shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord. It has started happening already. You are going to see the blessing this week. Like rain, it will be pouring upon your life. And this year will be a wonderful year in Jesus' name. Look at Zechariah chapter 8. Just behind Malachi. Zechariah chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, this is the day we're talking about now. This is your time. In those days, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. That means it will happen, that 10 men shall lay hold out of all the languages of the nations, and even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, and saying, we will go with you. For we have heard that God is with you. They will hear. I said they will hear. They will see that overflowing blessing in your life, and they will say, what do you worship? Well, we'll go with you. And when they come, the blessing will be upon them too, in Jesus' name. And before I leave that section, come back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. You see, you just don't put a tithe and offering anywhere. There's some people, they say, I send my tithe to somebody, I had him on the radio. That's not where you feed. This is your church. You know, we're laboring over you. And if your church is not well provided for, and here is where you're receiving all the nutrients and all the development and all the encouragement and all the miracle and everything, this is his household for you. And he said, bring your tithe into that storehouse. It's not, you know, you send it to television station somewhere, you send it to roaming evangelist somewhere, send it somewhere. No, that's why many people are not being blessed. They think they can divide God's money. And they think they can say, okay, I will give this one our church, I'll give this one to that backslidden evangelist, somebody must help him, I'll give that one to false prophet, I'll give this one to somebody I read about in the newspaper. No, they all the tithes to bring into the storehouse, and what a wonderful blessing is coming upon your life. Malachi chapter 3, we come to point number 3, continual remembrance of the triumphant in his service. Continual remembrance of the triumphant in his service. And look at this now, he's talking to us from verse 13. And he says, your words have been stout, have been harsh against me, says the Lord. But yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. Are there not people, maybe you don't say that with your mouth, it is vain to serve the Lord. And that's why you have a good singing voice, you are not in the choir. What are you saying? You're saying indirectly, it is vain to serve the Lord. That's why you have good knowledge of the word of God. And you are not a teacher. You are not a zonal leader. You are not a women rep. And you are not a coordinator. You are not a local pastor. What are you saying? It is vain to serve the Lord. You're saying it is better to go for evening classes. It is better to go for whatever certificate. It is better to go and work for a company. It is better to go and work for a firm than working for God. Is that what you're saying? You're saying, I don't have time. Why don't you have time? You have the same time we have. You say, Pastor, you know what? I give all this time to my place of work. I give all this time to my place of work. Do you know that when you die, all that you're doing over is good, is good, is good for the world that now is. It's good for the earth that now is, whatever it is you are doing. But you know what the Bible says? All this world, everything will be burnt away by fire. A great conflagration that will burn everything. But only what you do for Christ, only what you do for Christ. You create the time. Actually, God should be number one in your life. But you know, you're making company number one, corporation number one, firm number one, and that secular work number one. And then after you have spent all the time, and now you are tired, you are worn out, there's no vigor, there's no strength anymore, then you come and give the leftover unto God. That's not good. You make God number one. And if there is no time, maybe there's no time for that other thing. Not for God. God created you, and God recreated you, and God redeemed you, and God saved you. There is time. There's time for God. Anything you have the ability to do, anything you have the experience to do, anything you have the training to do, you must do it and give God the very best of your life. You will do it. And you know, if you respect God like that and you put him as number one this year, it's going to make your prayer number one to be answered. It's going to make the promises of God number one to be fulfilled in your life. And so these people were saying, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. That is, the people are not following the Lord. And yea, they that work wickedness are set up. And it says, and they that tempt God are even delivered. And now it comes to say, then they that fear the Lord speak often one to another. They that fear the Lord speak often one to another. That is, those who fear the Lord, they see the people that were saying, well, you cannot give God your time because you have to do this, you have to do this. Their parents tell them, you cannot give all your time to God. You have to do this, you have to do that. And maybe their wives tell them, you have to do this and do that. Husbands tell them, you have to do this, you have to do that. But then the people that fear the Lord, they said, I'm not going to listen to those people. I'm going to make God number one in my life. I'm talking to somebody there today. And you will make God number one in your life. It says, then they spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. There are three sections here. Number one, a dreadful revolt. A dreadful revolt. Those are the people that said it's vain to serve the Lord. They were revolting against the Lord, who demanded their time, who demanded their treasure, who demanded their talent, who demanded everything they had, and said, contribute and make me number one, and give that tithe of your time and tithe of whatever you have, and give that unto me. You know what? Look up here. We're going to let's do some calculation. There are 24 hours in the day, and there are 168 hours in the week. If you were to give not just the tithe of money unto God, but the tithe of your time, the tithe of your time, so that you have not spent all the time, you're thrown all the time, and you're giving to the corporation, giving to the firm, giving to the whatever, and then you now come only Sunday service, you're here. But if we're talking about 168 hours in the week, what is 1/10 of 168, 1/10 of that, what's that? 16 hours, and then 4/5, 48 minutes. If you round that up, you already have 17 hours. Think about that. You come to the service here from 8 o'clock till about 11 o'clock or there, about 3 hours. You go to the Bible study, and then if you go, some people not even go to Bible study. If you go to the Bible study, how long is that? Just about, 6 to 8:30. And then you go on Thursday, 6 to 8:30. And if you're a worker, and everybody should be a worker. And those who are not workers, who are going to be workers, I see you there. And when I come to your place the next time, you'll be there. Look at that person looking away and dodging me. Look up at me here because, your time has come. I said your time has come. And so you have, 3 hours today on Sunday. You have 2.5 hours on Monday, 2.5 hours on Thursday. 2.5, that's 5. And then 3, that's 8, for the 3 meetings in the week. Think about that. And you have all the 168 hours. How do you spend the rest of your time? What do you give your time to? And the people that have this dreadful revolt, they're saying, no, that's enough. They don't even come on Monday. They don't even come on Thursday. They just manage to come on Sunday. And if he's going to take us to, IBTC for the combined service, that's too much for them. They will be sleeping at home. What are you giving to the Lord? For what God did for you, he gave his life for you, he died for you and shed his blood for you, and he went through that agony. Oh, my Father, if this cup will not pass by me, except I drink it for him, I drink it for her, thy will be done. Look at what he has done for you. What are you going to do for the Lord? This year, things will change in Jesus' name. Number one, a dreadful revolt. They were revolting against the Lord as if, why am I going to serve the Lord? Number two, a dutiful remnant. A dutiful remnant. These are the people we read about in verse 16, a dutiful remnant. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. The thought upon his name. Number three is a delightful response. A delightful response. And the Lord is now saying that there's going to be a reward for you. I said there's going to be a reward for you. Verse 17, and they shall be mine. The Almighty God says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, they'll be special, they'll be precious, they'll be priceless. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. What he's saying here is that at that time of the rapture, when Christ will come, when he'll come as a refiner, I will take all of Jerusalem and take Israel through that fire. These ones who remember my name, and these ones who are serving me, and these ones who have surrendered everything, I lay everything on the altar. He says, I will spare them. You will not go through the great tribulation. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I will serve the Lord. I said, I will serve the Lord. The Lord will reward your service in Jesus' name. And the reward is coming for you on that final day. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 2 and verse 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And there are people that, you know, they hear the word of God, they will not do it, they are not saved, they will not give their lives to the Lord. And when that day will come, on the final day, they would say, had I known, had I known, had I known. It will be a time of regret, an eternity of regret. If I had known, I would have given my life and everything I've got to the Lord. They'll wake up in resurrection to shame and everlasting contempt. In verse 3, and they that be wise, you'll be a wise man. You'll be a wise woman. You'll be a wise virgin in Jesus' name. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the star forever and ever. Somebody there, your life will begin to shine from today. And then for the rest of your life, you will shine as a star. And then when we get to eternity, when we get over there on the other side, if you open your heart and you live according to this word, when we see you in eternity, you'll be dazzling and shining. And then we try to get near, we say, who is this? Then we know, we see, it is you. You're saved. You're sanctified. Not only that, you're serving the Lord, and you're bringing many people into the kingdom, and you will shine on that final day in Jesus' name. Let those who have that mind and that desire to shine, let them rise up and tell the Lord, let us make a U-turn. Let us turn away from all the indolence of the past and all the neglect of the past and the negligence of the past, and say, Lord, here we come today, we're going to serve you. Here we come today, we're going to serve you, because there's a reward awaiting the people that actually serve the Lord. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Pray and the Lord will bless you and use you as a blessing, a source of blessing, channel of blessing for other people's lives.